The Houston Astros battled the Boston Red Sox in Game 4 of the ALCS. First pitch tonight at 7:07. Now, back to the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Well, Tal got here on his turtle. That was nice of him. He's his usual charming self. First thing he said, yo lazy-ass partner. What'd you say?
I didn't say lazy. I said, get your fragile-ass partner out of my life.
He is fragile.
Man, look, you want to... Look, I catch slander from you all the time. It's fine. But he's like, hey, can you get in here? Lance is sick. I was like, I see this text at about 7:30. I'm like, okay, I'll try to get there as fast as I can. Hey, if you want to take... You want to complain, you can... Take a left out the door or the right or a right out the door. There are two people at the end of the hall. If you want to have issue with our roster being so thin that someone who has an hour commute has to come in and try to do the show, fine. But that's not my fault. It's an hour at least.
What did I say? Just get your ass here, okay? I don't want to hear. Don't tell me how big the waves are. Just bring the ship in.
Don't you worry. That's all. Don't you have Sage Rosenfeld coming up at some point?
Yeah, now he's coming on in 15 minutes.
Good, because you know what I'm going to do? I still have to cut and edit Charlie Sound.
No.
Yes.
Don't you have to host that show like you did yesterday?
No, apparently he'll be live from Boston today. Yeah, he didn't do the show yesterday because I guess it was a travel day, I'm not sure. And then Patrick Creighton had some kind of attack of pancreatitis or something?
Yeah, apparently. He's still in the hospital? They kept him overnight?
Yeah. They kept him overnight to monitor him. He had I guess he was thrown up during Charlie's show while Dell and I were having fun.
Was it because of Dell?
No, I don't think so.
Don't blame me. I don't have anything to do with his pancreas.
You make Lance throw up all the time.
No, that's generally the Astros who have been terrible the last two nights, at least on the field. I don't know what Lance's problem is, only that he's just not... He's not a strong man.
He is
not of character or health. Just saying. I mean, he doesn't have great morals, and he's certainly not a man who can stand up to illness very well. He's fragile. He's Samuel Jackson. He's Mr. Glass.
You think that he's fragile?
He's of poor moral fiber, and he's not physically strong. That's what we found out. He's sicker than anyone here. Who else gets as sick as he does? Who misses time because of sickness other than him? Other than having COVID and people having to miss 2 weeks because of COVID. He gets sick more than anyone here.
So should we call him the Will Fuller of ESPN 97.5?
I don't think Will... Well, yeah, I guess. But Will Fuller doesn't get sick. He just gets muscle injuries.
All the time.
Yeah, he's just out.
He's out all the time.
Yeah, but
I mean, Lance gets injured all the time.
But
all
Lance
the time.
Gets injured. And,
oh, he's definitely the Will Fuller.
And he gets sick. Like, sick from what? A fever? Fever? How old are you that you're getting fevers? Who gets fevers? What grown man gets a fever now? Oh, I can't come into work. I got a fever.
He was... If you have some kind of an infection, I think Patrick Creighton had a fever.
He had pancreatitis, some issue, some flare-up. That's different. But no grown man says, I can't come into work because I got a fever. When's the last time you've heard that?
Well, you know, he's got a gaggle of children that are bringing all these diseases home.
Understood, but that's a decision he made. That's on him.
I mean,
just don't remember miss work because of fever. Forget, I'm saying man, but women too. Who misses work because of fever?
How old is he?
Yeah, how old? That's the excuse a 12-year-old gets from their parents so they don't go to school.
He has a fever.
Unbelievable fever.
So we had, and I thought of you, and I wanted to see. Did you hear us talking about LSU versus A&M in the programs?
No, but I can chime in. Sure.
So, Lance was like, "Oh, A&M is just as good a better program than LSU."
No, they're not.
I was like, "What?
What's he talking about?" So he's dumb too.
Now listen, I'm not degrading A&M.
But
they got all the money. They're a wonderful fan base that supports them and everything else. But LSU's won 3 national titles and have been in another championship game over the last 20 years. A&M hasn't even made the playoff.
A&M has nothing standing in the way but themselves, but they are not the same level program. It's simple. It's not that they can't get to that point, but they're not. Until they achieve what LSU achieves, you're insulting LSU by making that comparison.
And the difference is, and even, you know, Paul Feinbaum, I said it yesterday, and Paul Feinbaum said it again today. You put a fence around, they own the state. Now, Orgeron has let a lot of that talent go. It's escaped lately, and that's one of the reasons he's out of there. Plus, how handsy he is.
Oh, well, when you're flirting with pregnant women at gas stations who happen to be associated with major members of the program, that's a problem.
It seems to be a problem, yeah, when she's who's pregnant, by the
way. What does that matter? That was his answer. Well, I'm married and pregnant. What's that matter? What does that matter? We still work out together. Okay.
Well, yeah, I guess. But
believe it or not, Six Flags didn't put a warning on this ride for pregnant women. Yeah. Come on, woman.
I mean, he wants that. He likes getting it.
Yeah, he don't care. He's trying. He's out there working.
Well, I think the point is, Paul Feinbaum, I believe, even said it. LSU won national titles with Ed Orgeron and Les Miles. That's the type of program they can be, even with those guys as head coach. A&M needs a legit star, and Jimbo's a star as a coach, to elevate them to a level. And look, like we said, A&M can certainly get there, but they're not there yet, so they're not LSU. They're not. Yeah. They're at a tier below.
Well, and one of the big reasons, look at the staff that Orgeron had, and now look at the staff that he has now.
When he had to
night and day.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember that timeline. Did he make all those hires the first time around, and he just been wrong the last two times?
I guess. Well, he didn't even interview Pelini.
Yeah, he didn't.
Now, Pelini brought
a
name with him too, though. I mean, it's not an outrageous hire. He just wasn't very good. Yeah, and look at what Aranda's doing now at Baylor. They look pretty good.
Yeah. So Ed Orgeron, whether it be by people dropping those guys in his lap or him actually going out there and interviewing, he made tremendous hires the first time around. I just don't know what happened the second and third time.
What about Joe Brady going there?
I've heard the talk and people like Joe Brady should be the obvious choice. The question is, because I don't know anything about Joe Brady outside of what he does calling offenses, is he a leader of men? Yeah. Because it's more than just calling plays. You got to be a guy who can not only be a CEO, but a guy people believe in. You got to be a motivator. There are a lot of things that going into being a head coach on the college football level. Not just, well, he can dial up plays. Steve Sarkisian can dial up plays. That's not a problem. Now, he has a Texas job, and we'll see how that plays out. So I'm sure it's a big advantage for Joe Brady being there, winning a national title. But those are questions that Scott Woodward has to ask.
And
can he be a leader of men?
And the most important thing, can he recruit?
Yes.
Can you sit down in a living room and get that kid to come?
Well, LSU certainly, because of the state they're in, will have the ability just to grab guys. We talked about it yesterday when I was filling in for, I guess, Palillo and Creighton at that point with Aaron. LSU can throw out a scholarship offer days before signing day, and kids are like, yeah, I want to go to LSU. That's the in-state school. It's different in Texas. You just alluded to it, just too much competition. So he will have a built-in cushion. Mm-hmm. The question will be when he's fighting Nick Saban or Ohio State for a kid, and the kid is definitely torn, does he get that kid, or does he lose out to more established guys?
Yeah. No. Well, absolutely. That's the difference. And Nick Saban has come in there, and he's taken players. And
not only that.
That's a problem.
Say you do get those blue-chip guys out of Louisiana, and they last minute decide to commit. Can you develop them? Because a lot after the first couple of classes, they're not developing them.
Yeah.
The next kids are going to look at Nick Saban, Ryan Day, and go, well, they took this guy and made him a first rounder.
Right.
Well, you haven't done that.
Well, Aaron is laying out the Texas problem.
That's exactly the Texas problem.
Kai, why would a kid go to Texas? Now they still do because it's Texas, but a kid says Ohio State's coming calling and they turn J.K. Dobbins into a high draft pick. Jeffrey Okuda, despite whatever's going on in Detroit, was a high draft pick.
We'll see what happens with Quinn Ewers.
Yeah. So why would I go here when guys from this state leave and become first and second day picks, but if they stay in Texas, we're talking about guys getting drafted on the third day.
Yeah, but at LSU, you can claim we had the biggest draft ever.
I don't think LSU doesn't have a we don't develop problem, certainly. So Joe Brady will go in and say, look, I'm the guy who got all those guys drafted. Come talk to me. You should play here. If he is one of the potential hires. Does he want to be a college head coach? Is he an NFL guy? Because he got out as soon as he could. Now the OC at an NFL school an NFL team is certainly an upgrade over being the OC at a college program.
And is he on track to be an NFL head coach?
Yeah. Now Carolina's not exactly lighting it up, but I'm not sure that's Joe Brady's issue. So
he's making Sam Darnold look better.
Yeah. Well, he's being compared to Adam Gase, and you know how I feel about Adam Gase, the killer of offensive talent. So, but yeah, Sam Darnold's better under him. The question will be is how many years does Joe Brady need to spend as an OC before NFL teams think he's ready? I wonder. Well, we see around the league, you can be like 33 and get a job, so I don't think he'll have to be one that long.
Yeah, and he's got to have more success with. Right. I mean, listen, we're hiring. Look at the young coaches in the league right now. We don't care about. Look at Cliff and what he's doing right now, and what McVay's doing, and I mean LaFleur. Look at these guys. Even Zach Taylor's doing a nice job. So we don't care about aging. As a matter of fact, it's a plus that you're young and inexperienced.
Certainly a positive for because of how the league is going. Now, the guys you laid out do have uber-talented quarterbacks. That certainly helps the cause. Cliff didn't even have to watch the game, and his team just destroyed the Cleveland Browns. So that speaks to when you can accrue talent like Steve Keim in Arizona is done and continues. We'll see Zach Ertz this coming week. So they keep loading up. I mean, it appears to be pretty easy. Now, they've gotten off to good starts in the past. The health of Kyler Murray will determine what they are. But so far, the Arizona Cardinals. Imagine that. Cliff couldn't win with Pat Mahomes, couldn't win it at Texas Tech, but now may have the best team in the NFC. Things change really quickly.
Well, and both those guys were on the hot seat going into the season. I mean, really hot. Keim, when he drafted Rosen and then the next year drafted Murray, was like, what are you doing over there? And guess what? He was absolutely right. And what are you doing hiring a coach that couldn't win with Pat Mahomes? I mean, and boy, did he take some chances, and boy, did it pay off.
Yeah, it's only a snapshot of the year, but if you're looking at it, he seems to have made the right decisions. Now he just has to hope whatever happened last year at Arizona doesn't happen again, because, you know, the last time we were even thinking about them is when DeAndre caught that Hail Mary against the Bills, and all of a sudden Arizona's like, okay, and then it kind of fell apart. So their challenge will be, we were good last year early too. Let's not have that same type of fall off.
Yep. Sage Rosenfels is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 90. You got to get ready for some shows or something?
I got to cut up a lot of audio.
Well, thanks for actually coming in for 4 minutes.
It was an entire segment. Look, I don't work on this show. What do you want from? I don't.
Jerk.
I don't work. I did.
You know, I thought maybe you'd become a better person.
How so?
You know,
why?
Being around Charlie Moore and Joel.
Why do you? Well, Joel. Why would he make anyone a better person? Charlie, I'll take, but Joel. I did almost an hour and a half solo. Aaron was here helping me because Patrick Creighton got sick. That was my good deed coming in to help you. No, I had to fight Houston traffic. I told you already. Complain to the other people here. If you need someone to
never,
come help you,
something how never
come
they changed.
How come you didn't? Hey,
some things never.
Someone
ever,
here
ever changed.
Does a show on the network. Why didn't he come in and talk to you?
Who
doesn't David Gow do a show on the network?
David Gow owns the place.
Exactly. So he should be more than happy to come in here and help you out.
No. He's got minions like you that need to do the work. All right.
That's why
you're a pawn.
Look, I'm not
in David Gow's life.
And when you realize,
you know what? That's what he does. He pushes the pawn. Okay, go get killed.
See, I'm not even going to argue with that. But when the pawn realizes he's just a pawn, then the pawn goes, "Hey, I'm just a pawn. I can't become a knight. So I'm just a pawn. So I'm going to do pawn like things and do a segment and then go do the rest of my work."
I'm a pawn, so I'm going to do pawn-like things.
Yeah, don't expect a pawn to become a knight. He can only be a pawn.
He's the king, okay?
Yeah.
He just sits back and watches, okay?
Yeah.
That's what he does.
And you can sacrifice me for a segment, but the pawn knows he's a pawn, so he's got other stuff to do. That's all.
Oh, my gosh, the worst.
And now you got a former NFL quarterback for the next two segments. You're good. I'll come back in here for News of the Weird.
News of the Weird coming your way at 9:45, all right? 713-70. Oh, we got Sage. Hey, you might have a question for Sage if you want to tweet the show, or you can call in and talk to Sage yourself if you want. Lance isn't here. We could do whatever the hell we want now. They were trying to do Throw Shade Tuesday.
Yeah, I heard you wuss out. No, I heard that.
There's no such thing as Throw Shade Tuesday.
There's no such thing as, what are these are the odds Tuesday. You made that up. Why couldn't you do Throw Shade Tuesday?
You can't.
The alliteration is there.
No, it's not. It's the alliteration.
Throw Shade Tuesday. It's fine. It would have worked.
You don't know. See, that's why.
That's
why. You're not only lazy, but now you're too dumb to be on this show anymore. Okay, I don't know how you got dumb.
That's saying something, being too dumb to be on this show.
It's time to take one here. 9:14. Sage Rosenfels next. Don't go anywhere.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
You're locked into The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now to look back at this past weekend's NFL action with former Texans QB Sage Rosenfels. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Sage Rosenfels joining the show, former Texans quarterback here. He's watched all the tape. I don't know how he does it, if you want to know the truth. Sage, I don't know. You not only watch the game, but then you go back and study it. Sage, I can't be more disgusted with this organization. They cut Whitney Mercilus. They gave him a huge deal. Gave a huge deal, $4 million a year, to Kyme Fairbairn, who can't kick. This is all under Bill O'Brien. But what about this staff right here? They give up a sixth rounder for Ryan Finley, who doesn't even make the team. Give up a fifth rounder for Anthony Miller, who they cut to beat it because we got Danny Amendola, who can't even get on the field. It's decision after decision after decision. They let J.J. Watt go. If he'd have picked the Cardinals, fine. Let's try to get something for the Cardinals for him. It's just unbelievable, this organization says. And we're seeing the results on the field. They're terrible. All of their decisions, all of the guys that they signed this offseason, they're just not good enough. How are you watching these games, Sage, and studying these games?
Well, that's one of my jobs that I have to do is watch this game. You know, I was at the New York Giants game. I played in New York in 2010. Came up to the city, went to a charity event at Tom Coffin charity event Friday night. Went to the game on Sunday versus the Rams, and then this morning watched the Texans game. And there's a lot of similarities there. These are two organizations that have made a lot of wrong decisions, whether it be draft picks, whether it be trades, whether it be free agency, maybe coaches, whatever it might be. They have made a lot of mistakes to get to where they're at. This doesn't just sort of happen overnight. You have to sort of fumble the ball multiple times off the field to then go on the field and fumble the ball multiple times on the field. And that's what it feels like with this Texans team. And you see some positives here and there. I see positives when I watch Davis Mills play as a rookie, but overall, there's just it's not quality football. And you see easy plays that are turned into huge mistakes for this Texans team. And you're right. It's very similar with the Giants. The Giants are a bad football team. They get crushed up, offensive line and defensive line. And I sort of feel the Texans are very similar, where they just can't hold up versus other teams. And it's just at some point, if they make a mistake or two, the other team just sort of runs them over. And that's what happened on Sunday in Indianapolis.
Well, at least they got, excuse Saquon, Kenny Golladay. They got some injuries. At least they got some good players, as opposed to the Texans, who have no when your best player is Brandon Cooks and he's just laying everybody out for discipline. Joe Judge said this week it's going to get better. Do you believe it's going to get better with the Giants?
No, I don't. I said watching that game up there in New York, I just, you know, they're down 38-3. And listen, Jason Garrett is—I feel like he's a good friend of mine. He was my backup quarterback for my first ever career start when I was in Miami. He was my quarterback's coach the following year under Nick Saban. I have a ton of respect for him. But they're down 38-3, and they still have Daniel Jones in the football game, trying to throw the ball around, sitting in shotgun, trying to catch up when there's 7 minutes left in the football game. The guy had a concussion a week ago. Like, what are we doing here? You know, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And, you know, there is sometimes a tough guy mentality in football, which I very much understand and appreciate. But when your quarterback had a concussion a week earlier and the game is far, far over, you don't leave him in there and just allow, you know, a defensive line with Aaron Donald and the crew just to continue harass him and sack him and hit him. That's not going to make Daniel Jones better. That's not going to make the team better. So, I mean, they've got a whole slew of problems up there in New York, and I imagine as the year goes on and gets to the offseason, they're going to make some changes there. I'm not sure if the head coach change or what, but, you know, for both teams, I will say this, for both teams, and I was talking to a guy that works for the Giants when I was there, and you know, they were honoring the 2011 team that won the Super Bowl. Of course, that team had, of course, Eli, but, you know, the strength of that team, offensive line, defensive line. And that's what this Texans team and that's what that current Giants team doesn't have. Strong lines. And that worker for the Giants who I was talking to said, you know, at the end of the day, this sport comes down to who's got the better line. And, you know, we love talking about quarterbacks and receivers and running backs and those types of plays. And they're very important too, of course. But over the course of a 17-game season, having really good offensive and defensive lines will win you a lot of football games. And both of these two franchises, that is definitely weaknesses for both of them.
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be, with Tunsil and Cannon. Now Cannon's done and Tunsil's out. And, I mean, this is a makeshift. It was supposed to be better than it is. It couldn't open up any holes for these running backs.
You're starting a rookie quarterback. We all know this, and I don't know how people are feeling that in Houston, but you know, I feel bad for Davis Mills. You know, as I love to say, it's not when you get drafted, it's where you get drafted. And you know, a lot of people want to be the first pick in the draft, or they want to be a top 5 pick or a top 10 pick. But man, put me on a team that gives me a chance to win. Ben Roethlisberger got drafted to the Pittsburgh Steelers and run into a franchise that was ready to win right now. And, you know, had lost the ability and all those things. This kid is drafted to a mess, and he's out there doing his best. And, you know, you throw 43 passes and complete 29 as a rookie on the road, you got to feel pretty good about that. And I know he made some mistakes and threw a couple of interceptions, but, you know, the kid is not – he's not supposed to be the reason, you know, why this team wins. Right? He's supposed to be a part of a football team that's going to win a football game, and I feel like he's doing – a lot of really good things out there, making some good throws to the outside, obviously to Cooks, a lot of comeback routes, get some good throws to the tight end. You start the game, and the tight end jumps offside. I mean, you're the first play of the game. You're starting first and 15, and it's like, guys, everyone has to play great football, really almost perfect football, if we're going to win here, in particular with the rookie quarterback. Let's help this rookie out. I think he's doing a heck of a job. He's accurate when he throws on the run for the most part. He's not getting much time in the pocket. When he does draft back, it looks like he's harassed pretty good. I like him. I don't know if he's some NFL starter or Pro Bowler in the future, what he is, but for a guy that wasn't a super high draft pick coming out, and he wasn't a Trevor Lawrence or one of these guys, I like a lot of the things that he's doing out there. I just wish that he had a better team around him that could help give him a chance to win more football games. But, I like his competitive spirit and the way he continues to compete and work and try to move the ball. And I like that, he's trying to be aggressive. And as I said, sometimes as a rookie, you're overly aggressive. But I'd rather have a guy who's overly aggressive that he's, sort of way too hesitant and doesn't try to throw the ball down the field. And I like the way this kid's playing. So when I watch this Texans game, I look at things like that. Like, they do have a rookie quarterback that I do like. I don't know what his future holds, but it's the other guys on the team. You can't, have a play action from the, everyone knows that a team gets near the midfield and they like to take shots at the end zone. That's just a spot. Because you get further, you get to the 30, the 20, the field sort of shrinks and there's just sort of less space for defense to back up. So a lot of teams like to take shot in midfield. Well, if you're a deep cover two safety and your defensive coordinator is a cover two guru, which is what Lovie Smith is, you can't have a receiver run a deep corner route wide open. I mean, that is embarrassing to watch. You just can't have that. And they sort of did it twice in this game. The corners don't sink enough defensively. The safeties don't get back far enough. And you just have guys into being wide open in defenses that should be pretty simple. And so it's not the quarterback. It's other players on the football field that are causing this team to be unsuccessful, and it is tough to watch. And talking about the Giants, it was really tough to watch that football game on Sunday as well. So the Texans aren't the only one out there who have made a lot of mistakes on the field as far as personnel-wise and things like that over the course of the last 4, 5, 6 years.
Well, for whatever reason, T.Y. Hilton is invisible. He can make himself invisible and then all of a sudden appear on a football field against the Texans because they never cover him. They haven't covered him his whole career. He's the greatest player against the team in NFL history. So I mean, that just is that you knew T.Y. Hilton coming back. He was crying because he was like so happy that he gets to play against the Texans, come back and play against the Texans.
And by the way, as far as like this basic defensive structure and discipline, on the two runs by Jonathan Taylor for touchdowns, that, you know, he had the long one, of course, that ended up, you know, getting down about the 5-yard line. But on those two runs, I mean, if you just see how the Texans are lined up, they have an obvious gap issue. You know, there is a thing, a gap discipline is a big deal on defense. Everybody has to have a certain gap in the run. And if you just look at the alignment, the guys are not where they're supposed to be, which causes these basically walk-in touchdowns that aren't supposed to happen. I mean, people run the ball in, of course, but they shouldn't be walk-ins. It should be at least competitive. And those two touchdown runs are basically walk-ins and strictly based off of gap discipline. That has nothing to do with were you highly drafted, were you this, were you that. That is just knowing where you're supposed to be and being sound. And there is a lot of unsound football on this defense in this football game.
Sage. And water's wet, and the sky is blue, and the Texans are an undisciplined football team. I mean, we've been watching this. It was even worse last year under Anthony Weaver. It was worse than this, Sage. So you got this is if you can believe it or not, this is actually better than it was. Believe it or not. It's 928 ESPN 97.5. We got Sage another segment here. We'll talk about everything else going on. Who's the Bears' daddy? That's right. He owns them. Who owns the Bears? We can talk about that. We got all kinds of stuff to do. And how fast is Derrick Henry? He's unbelievable. And we saw that last night as well. So we'll talk about other NFL, actually real NFL teams with Sage on the other side. But right now I'm talking about HR&P. It's where you get your payroll and your HR. It's where we get it. It's where if you're not, and here's the deal. I don't know what your payroll company was doing for you during COVID. I don't know if they were helping you out. They were certainly helping us out with our small business loans, with our PPP. They were unbelievable. They've been unbelievable with our taxes. They have been perfect with our payroll. They are great with our HR. They give us choices on our benefits packages, and you get to opt in, you get to opt out. There's all kinds of stuff that they allow, but they are not in the benefits business. So they, you know what, you get to choose which one you want, which is best for your company, which is best for your employees. If you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, like we are completely satisfied with our payroll company and HR company, then go with ours. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. They're wonderful. You'll love them. And I'm telling you, just give them a call. They'll give you an estimate. It's not cookie cutter. Every business is different. They'll customize one for you. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Warrior sound! Real. Fun. Sports. You're locked into the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now to look back at this past weekend's NFL action with former Texans QB Sage Rosenfels. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back. Sage Rosenfels here with us for another segment. Sage, what did you think of Sean McDermott? Did you see Sean McDermott's decision to go for it on 4th-and-1? What did you think?
I did see that. You know, that is a tough deal. You're on the road. You're playing in a hostile environment. It was a great environment in that game. You got a quarterback who's extremely athletic, who just generally you're like, you know, put the ball in the quarterback's hands, put the ball in his hands of all people. And you know, obviously you kick a field goal, you tie the game and go into overtime or whatever. And he just decides not to do that and he goes for it. And, you know, I think a lot of players like coaches that go for it, and it doesn't always work out. I know that more than anybody. If you go for it, it doesn't always work out. So it didn't work out in that football game. It was a great football game to watch. And I still think that the Buffalo Bills are one of the best, if not the best team in the AFC. They sort of have all three phases. I love their defense. I really like their offense. Of course, your quarterback's a great athlete. So if you're going to go for it, I like at least putting in your quarterback's hands who I think is the best player on that field.
Yeah. I did too. We had a caller earlier. Why are you calling for it? Kick the field goal, go to overtime. No, get a yard. Get 1 yard. If you can't get 1 yard, then, I mean, look at the number of coaches that are going for two in college instead of trying to go to overtime. You know, let's end it right here. And that 1 yard is much easier than getting a 2-point conversion.
Well, so I mean, if you coach long enough, if you play long enough, you've been on airplanes flying home where you've lost the game in overtime, and because you never got the ball, right? So let's just say they kick the field goal, they end up going to overtime, they lose the game in overtime without getting the ball. You think to yourself, man, we were 1 yard away. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just go for it 1 yard? We're 1 yard away, then we can go and win that game. Now we're sitting here, we played conservative, we played the numbers of what you're supposed to do, and we're sitting here with a loss going home. So, yeah, I always like the coaches that are overly aggressive and until it just completely doesn't make sense at all. I think in this situation, you can say it made sense, at least from this coach's perspective, that going for it gave them a great chance to go and win that game now and not try to win it in overtime, which is, you know, adds a whole bunch more variables to the equation.
What about Derrick Henry running 22 miles an hour?
Did you guys always see the video on Twitter? He looks like sort of like Forrest Gump, the way he runs. It's sort of like he runs sort of like Michael Johnson, the old 200-meter runner, sort of a chest up and leaning back. Man, for a guy that big, it is absolutely incredible the way he runs the football, the way he moves, the way he has balance. If anyone wants to go back and look at Derrick Henry's high school stats, they're absolutely insane. I think one year he had like 80 touchdowns or something in high school. It was just absolutely crazy the athlete that this guy is. The NFL, I don't think it's ever has never and probably for a long time see a running back like him. As tall as he is, you don't see running backs who are 6'4" and run the way he does. What a freak of nature athlete. And obviously that he's a perfect fit for that Mike Vrabel football team. You know, run the ball and play defense. You have a defensive head coach, you better have a great running back, and Derrick Henry's one of the best in the business.
And when you run for 2,000 yards in the NFL, usually you're done after that. Then this guy's doing it. He's right there. It seems like every year. Every year he's right at he ran his yards last 2 years, 1,540 and 2,027. 1,000 before that. But when you run the ball 378 times, you fall off. He's not falling off at all.
No, he's not. I mean, you play at University of Alabama. It seems like a lot of running backs fall off, too, because I think Nick Saban beats the crap out of you during your 3 or 4 years in college. But we haven't seen any fall off yet. We haven't seen any lack of speed. When you see a guy who's that big outrunning corners and safeties as he breaks through and no one catching him. I mean, no one even catching up to him. Really phenomenal. And, you know, we'll see how long his career goes. I'm always intrigued by, like, running backs of the type of runner they are. You know, in Chicago, when I do my radio show, they talk about David Montgomery. You know, he doesn't have that breakaway speed, but he's one of those guys that gets every last inch. And they say, you know, should he go down? Should he not have that style? Because, you know, he's going to sort of shorten his playing career. And I'm like, well, that's who David Montgomery is in Chicago. That's the type of runner is. You can't sort of take those stripes off. That is who he is, and that's who he's always going to be. So his career may not be as long. Sure enough, he gets injured last week, and he's out for a few weeks, you know, probably because of that style. So I do wonder, with Derrick Henry, what type of career is this guy going to have? Will he play for 10, 12 years? I mean, he's such a big man, but those big guys take a lot of hits, and you get one knee issue, and that Porsche very quickly turns into an Impala, which very quickly turns into a Caprice or something. So, you know, they do get slower over time. And, you know, for a guy that big to have that type of speed, I've just never seen anything like it in the NFL.
How do you rank the NFC? Rams, Cardinals, Buccaneers, Packers, Cowboys?
I love the Rams. I really do. And I know that the Cardinals right now are 6-0 and the Rams are 5-1. But, you know, one, based off of their experience, you know, they've been there and done it. And they've got the veteran coaching staff who's been to the playoffs multiple times. Rashawn McVay, of course, been in the Super Bowl. I love the way Matthew Stafford's playing. They got the defense. I feel like they sort of have all the pieces necessary to get back to the Super Bowl. The Cardinals are, of course, a surprise. But then if you sort of take a step back, and look at them, you know, Kingsbury, of course, at Texas Tech, and, you know, I'm a Big 12 guy, their offenses were always so great at Texas Tech, but their defenses were just terrible. I mean, they would win or lose these games 65-58 or something like that. And but now you get to the NFL, and he's just responsible for the offense. So you're sort of getting all the good offensive, you know, type of stuff that he did at Tech. Now you get in the NFL, and, of course, he has somebody else completely taking over the defense, and you don't have to recruit players to play defense for you when you have that style like you did at Tech. So they have now, and they got J.J. Watt. They've got a lot of good players over there. And then they've got, I think, one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL. If you took all the quarterbacks right now with Mahomes and Herbert and these great players, you got to think this Kyler Murray, you probably take in your top five. He's such a threat. He's a great natural thrower of the football. And, of course, his quickness and his athletic ability, he buys time. He runs. You can do a lot of red zone stuff with him or third and one zone read type stuff and use his athletic ability. I really do like them. The Packers, despite the fact that they're 5-1, I'm not completely sold on them. I mean, if you look at their points for and their points against, they've only outscored teams by 8 points this year. That's it. They're winning a lot of really close ball games. And so I just don't totally see them as that team yet. I think they're going to be in the mix. The Cowboys are much better than expected. I don't think anyone really thought that they would come back this fast after last year. You got to give Dan Quinn, defense coordinator, a ton of credit for turning around a defense that was really poor in 2020 to become one of the better defenses in the league right now. So I do like them. And, of course, Tampa Bay, right, Tom Brady, you know they're going to be there at the end. You know they're going to, you know, he's got so much playoff experience. They're going to be, of course, in the playoffs. And when Tom Brady's in the playoffs, do you ever really think he's going to lose? You know, probably not. So the NFC has got four or five teams that are very, very competitive. They're going to be very good. It's going to be one heck of a playoff race when it comes down to the end of the season. But, you know, as we all know, we never know what's going to happen between now and then. Those are the teams that look at the class of the NFC right now through, you know, six games. But Dak Prescott could get injured. Tom Brady could get injured. Aaron Rodgers could get injured. You know, I mean, Matt Stafford could get injured. There's always these variables that do occur, and we still have a lot of season left, basically a third of the way through the year. And but those right now, those five teams, Arizona Cardinals, the Rams, the Packers, the Cowboys, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, really do seem like they are a good one step ahead of everybody else in that conference.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, before we let you go, be honest here. Were you at least did a little smile on your face when Iowa got beat by Purdue?
Little. I was very happy. I was very happy. You know, as a Cyclone fan, we haven't beat Iowa now about five tries. But they're a really good football team. I got so much respect for Kirk Ferentz. He's been doing a long time. And I love the fact that he sort of runs a pro-style offense there at the University of Iowa. But, you know, I'm happy they didn't lose to Ohio State or Wisconsin or one of those top teams that's generally the Big Ten. It was great that they lost to an unranked Purdue Boilermaker team. So made a lot of people in my hometown very unhappy. I grew up in Eastern Iowa, very much Hawkeye country. But for me, yes, I was definitely all smiles. I was really shocked. And it, you know, 24-7, it wasn't even that close of a ballgame.
No, well, Petras is just not. I just didn't believe in that. Four interceptions. He just looked terrible. And they weren't going to win anything with Petras at quarterback. So,
you know, I agree with you. And I know you're only a college kid. You don't want to, you know, sort of rip on a college kid too much. But when I, you know, when they played the Cyclones, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and obviously Iowa won, I've seen enough Iowa football this year. I just haven't been impressed, too impressed with that young quarterback. To be a top five team in the country, you have to have all the pieces. They've got a really good defense over there in Iowa City. You love their offensive line, the running game, but you've got to have a really good quarterback, and I just don't think he's there yet. He's not that guy that's going to bring you to a, you know, BCS-type game and winning those big ball games that, you know, win you the Big Ten championship. He's just not that guy. And Iowa rarely has, you know, they just have these sort of game manager-type quarterbacks who, you know, it's a fairly simple offense for them. They just rarely have a playmaker. I mean, imagine that Hawkeye football team with like a Kyler Murray or one of these guys at Oklahoma, a Caleb Williams, who, by the way, Caleb Williams, I've known that kid since he was 17 years old, the Oklahoma quarterback. I mean, talk about an absolute stud. I always knew, I've known him since he was in the eighth grade and been training him sort of since then. And when he was 17, the last time we did a camp with him, we talked about, you know, he was basically going to be skipping his senior year because they weren't going to be playing because of COVID. So this kid didn't even play his senior year in high school, came to Oklahoma in the spring, and now he's, you know, he's a star quarterback already. And it's not surprising at all. You know, the kid is built sort of a little bit like Saquon Barkley. He is thick and strong, not generally like how young quarterbacks are, and he can throw it like Kyler Murray. I mean, he really is a phenom, and mentally I think he has all the pieces necessary to be a great, great college and pro quarterback. And it seems like to me he's very likable in that locker room, and that may have been the issue with Spencer Rattler. It doesn't seem like, you know, he sort of had that magnetic ability to get guys around him to really like him and then to play better. And it seems like Caleb Williams definitely has that. Imagine if the University of Iowa, and I do think that is where Iowa can't get sort of over the hump. They just never get one of those sort of premier quarterbacks. They just keep getting these guys that seem like they're drafted in the seventh round and never make it to the NFL, and that's about as good as they get. And they win because of defense and running game. Well, I do think when you get to the BCS or be one of those top five teams, you have to have a great guy behind center, and the Hawkeyes don't have that.
Well,
right now.
He's just, I mean, they get the same, the C.J. Beathard, Ricky Stanzi, Nathan Stanley. They get the same guy. Petrus is the same guy that they always get. It just seems like they've got a mold. They've got the guy for the moment. I mean, Drew Tate was a little different, but I mean, it's just like, it just seems like forever. They got that big, tall, white, can't move quarterback that it just is. And that's what they're going to do. That's it.
It does seem like they sort of have a type, and it also seems like that type has a ceiling that is not that high.
Right.
That's what it seems like to me.
Right.
Like, not a great athlete, just sort of like a game manager that does nothing special, and they've been doing it for 20-plus years. Win a lot of football games. You know, those guys can manage a lot. You can manage a lot, and so with the offensive line and defense to get 8-4 in college football, they've been doing a ton of that over there in Iowa City for 20 years now under Kirk Ferentz. But as I said, to get to that next level, you have to have somebody special. And they just never have anybody special behind them.
Mm-mm. All right, Sage, we appreciate it, man. Good talking football with you. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, looking forward to next week.
There's Sage Rosenfels with us here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Taking a break, and we got News of the Weird coming your way next. Don't you go anywhere.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, me and Dell now. And Aaron here finishing up strong. Apparently, Dell, Twitter abuse, 50% of misogynistic tweets come from women.
Are they calling other women
two words?
Bad words?
Yes. Slut and whore.
Hmm.
They found that 50% of people who are using those words about other people
are
women.
Women. Huh. Well,
huh.
I mean, I don't know what to take from that other than Twitter's not a great place.
Twitter's bad.
It's
people
an
awful.
It's an awful place. I don't frequent Twitter really very much unless I just want to get off a couple tweets every 2 weeks or so. But I don't think the people on Twitter are people. At least their personalities are people you want to hang out with outside of that realm. It's like you're a trash human being right now.
Yeah.
If you're this person in real life, who can be around you?
Right.
Yeah.
I find that about, you know, with Jackie. A lot.
Well, Jack,
he called me a knucklehead earlier, and I found that it was hurtful.
I caught some of that. Is it because you said he lived in Galveston? Is that why you're a knucklehead?
I don't know that you were coming from his house.
I would never spend time with Jackie.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm not. That's just the the simple fact. I would never spend time with Jackie.
China's drafted.
I don't know where he'll season him, but okay.
China has drafted a law that will punish parents for children's bad behavior. Is this just another reason to never have children?
I mean, China, I'm not going to get into China's forward-thinking philosophy about the one-child rule. I'm not going to get into that.
You think that's forward-thinking?
I mean, look, overpopulation is an issue, yeah. And they thought to them. And then the problem was, that allegedly, they valued boys more than girls. So at some point, you're going to run out of women, and who are those boys going to marry?
Yeah.
Allegedly, that was their issue. But I'm with it. Look, if your child is an awful human being, you have something to do with it. So you should be punished for it.
Speaking of having, well, just the opposite happened in New Jersey. A school has named two females as homecoming king and queen.
Okay. I mean, sure. Right. I mean, like, great. I find it very hard to care about those stories. Like, I know people can get outraged. Hey, Adam and Eve. Like, yeah, whatever. It's a high school. What do I care what they're doing? I'm just glad I'm not in high school anymore, really.
Well, yeah. And yeah, I mean, you didn't have any guys that could be king in that high school? I mean,
maybe she's the most king-like of everyone. Give her the job. Yeah, I don't know what the high school's like.
Seems odd that you didn't have any male candidates.
You don't know what high school was. Did you go to that high school? Do you know?
I don't know.
All right, then.
Apparently, a man said he was having shortness of breath, called an ambulance. And then once in the ambulance, he got fully naked and began pleasuring himself.
Well, that would cause shortness of breath.
Yeah, but...
Do you think he has a fetish for the ambulance? All the medical supplies around him, just get him going?
I don't...
I would like... Look, that story is interesting. I just need the psychology of this man. That you faked an illness so you could pleasure yourself in the ambulance.
Yeah.
Was he homeless? Maybe it was hot outside. He wanted a kind of a climate... controlled area to get that done. Some people need that type of environment.
Or maybe I was going to have some kind of an attack while I was.
Maybe he's aware.
Yeah, I think
blood flow can be an issue at that point. You never know.
Just got anything in here to help me for that?
Just need an EMT around just for that.
Vienna museums have opened up an adult only fans account to display nude paintings. Do you want to go to the OnlyFans account that displays? Apparently, there were a lot of places on the internet that wouldn't take their nude paintings.
What type of stuff are they doing in these paintings? If they're just like those chubby girls who are unclothed, why does that need an OnlyFans? Like a chubby girl, like, because those paintings, from what I remember, are generally women who aren't considered the beauty standard now. I'm not taking a shot at those women, but we know the paintings. Those paintings need an OnlyFans account. I'm like, can you put some clothes on her? That's what I would be asking. Hey, is there a
unless
reason?
You have a, you know, you like, why?
Look, I'm just saying, when I was a kid, now I've grown up and become more mature, but as a kid, I was like, why am I looking at this? This is not what I'm looking for. Put some clothes on her. Could you have drawn her with clothes on?
Yeah, you don't see a lot of great old paintings.
Yeah, they're awful. What do you mean great? They're awful. They're terrible.
Well, so they had to find a place to put them. Hey, could somebody look at these, please?
What about a basement?
Put it down. Well, or in a bathroom.
Oh, well, okay. Get stuff
or
done.
Or an ambulance. You could put it in an ambulance. Yeah,
for that guy.
Get a guy going. We're done. Charlie Polillo's next. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Bring your American pride. The Orange Crush is ready to roll.
Bye, bitch.
ESPN 97.5.